Welcome to another week of Free Basketball, hosted by, insert your business name here, I am your host, Ryan Meadows, and I am joined by Daniel Greer and Cody Holsey. We are talking Summer League this week, so I don't know how long this will go. We might go off on a lot of tangents. There's not really a great outline here, but we're just going to jump straight into it. No prep or anything. Daniel, so far in Summer League, was the top three of the draft in the correct order? Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith. Was that the correct order?
Yes, 100%. I knew it was, and it was.
And you bet it that way, right?
100%. We cashed all day.
We cashed some tickets. Cody, I don't know if you've been an avid Summer League watcher. I know in the past you have caught a couple games here and there, but you're not super into it as others. Do you have an opinion on this top three? Have you been watching more of it or just about the same? You know, not a huge fan of Summer League.
I've been watching a little bit here and there while I've been doing stuff, you know, around the house, things like that. Like, it's good to have on in the background, but it's not like extremely high level basketball. So it's not the most exciting of like, you know, games to watch. But yeah, I've been keeping up here and there. Those guys, they all look pretty good. Chet's been pretty impressive. Paolo. They're all just, you know, they're the lottery guys in Summer League, so they're bound to be good, except for Trae Young.
Yeah, you'd assume so. I mean, the top three being all bigs or combo forward types. I think I was a little more cautious about that because it's like, well, the NBA has kind of moved away from we need to take forwards and, you know, guys who are limited ceiling wise on defense, and it's more about the guards. But so far, it seems like this top three has been right on. I know out of the three, Jabari has struggled the most. I mean, he's been mostly missing a bunch of jumpers. Daniel, do you have a worry? I think I saw a stat last night where I think they've played two Summer League games so far, and he's gone to the rim or had shots at the rim only four times. The rest has been standstill, three-point shot, long two jumpers. Is that something that we have a worry about? I mean, that's something that we knew coming in that he was not going to be great at right away, but we knew he's going to be able to shoot. He has not been able to shoot well so far, and we knew the defense was going to be there, and sure enough, the defense has been there. Do you think it's any kind of alarm bells already that we're like, okay, maybe this is – we're already starting to see a path of what Jabari Smith is going to be, or are you just not worried about that at all?
Oh, I'm worried about it because I said that his ceiling is Tobias Harris. I've said it from the entire draft, and a lot of people laughed, scoffed, you would say, and I felt vindicated at the moment. Now, I get this is Summer League, and I get that Trae Young was once, you know, once a long time ago, he was terrible in Summer League, but just looking at what's happened so far, I just think that this guy was on a really good Auburn team. He was the best player on the Auburn team. And I think that he was helped out because he was on a really good team and people talked about how much he could do and what he could do, but nobody really talked about what he couldn't do, which was weird to me. Like he was one of the guys that nobody ever said what he couldn't do until draft day. When draft day happens, that's really when you saw a flip. What was it, 30 minutes before? You saw the flip, and then all of a sudden, you hear all these things about what Jabari can't do, and then you're hearing all this stuff about Paolo and how he was amazing and all these different things when realistically, 24 hours, 48 hours before that, you were only hearing about the bad of Paolo. So I think that somehow the narrative was shifted, and it was weird. But I think now you're seeing a little bit of Jabari. I don't think that his size is helping him right now. But in 2 years, I really do think that his adult body could come in and he really could be a better prospect. But what hurts him the most out of all that, he's playing with the Rockets. That is what hurts him the most. They don't pass the ball. When you don't pass the ball, who's good? The guy with the ball in his hand? If he makes it, if not, nobody else is benefiting from that. That's the real problem with Jabari going to Houston.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because that was going to be my observation. Everybody's like, well, you know, he's not getting passed to. It's like he's got Josh Christopher, Ty Washington, you know, as his guards. And it's like, is that going to get better when it comes season time, when it's Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., like there's no real point guard on this team. They're scoring guards. And so it just, I'm interested to see if Jabari's, what kind of role he's going to have, because obviously he's going to want, he thinks he's the top pick. Like he was told for the past couple months, he was going to Orlando. He probably was told by Orlando, someone in the organization, that he was going to go number one. And now he drops to three and he thinks he should be the number one guy. So he's on, you know, hashtag revenge tour. I'm just interested what his role is going to be, because there is a real chance that he's just a shoot it when you catch it guy. Like he's like a Christian Wood, you know, except he's probably going to try a little harder on defense and be there every day. I think he will get better. I'm interested to see if Jabari is better in a couple years on a different team, because I think this has real potential for him to fall flat in Houston with the situation they have. And because he's just not a number one go-to scorer, right? Like Banchero makes sense for the Rockets because they can throw in the ball in the wing and reliably he can go get offense and create for them. I just don't think Jabari can do that. I think he's a set shooter. And so I'm interested to see, I mean, probability wise, the chances of these top three picks all being really good NBA players that make the league and play for a long time is a really low probability. I mean, it's only a handful of guys in the top three that the top three of the draft are all-stars or regular rotation players that play high level. So I'm not sure. Obviously, it's way too early to adjust this, but I do think the Magic got it right by pulling a Hail Mary at the last second and getting Paolo at number one. I mean, good God, everybody's talking about how big he is. And that really is what stands out so far in Summer League. I mean, he dwarfs people that have been playing in the NBA for a few years that have actually been playing rotation minutes for teams. And he dwarfs them and has been obviously not amazing, but he's been pretty dang good for being a number one overall pick, which everybody thought he was going third. And everybody's limitation on him was defense, which I think there is that limitation. But his offense is incredible.
Hey, do you have anybody that you've seen him play so far? Do you have anybody like player comp or anything? I don't want to go crazy with this, but I've said this from day one. Do you have anybody? Because I can't unsee what I see, like with the player comparisons. Just in the play style. Okay. I'm not talking about how great he's going to be. I'm talking about play style only. Is there anybody that you see in him so far?
I don't know who to compare the body mixed with the offensive repertoire that he has already. Because I can probably find a comparable for the offensive repertoire, but I can't find a comparable for the body and vice versa. What was yours?
Yeah, mine has been Carmelo Anthony from day one. I'm not saying he's going to be
bigger.
Yeah, he is
that's
bigger.
That's the only thing. He's just bigger.
But look at their games. If you see their play styles, like Carmelo is always getting to his spot. He's very slow, very methodical, but he has that long jump shot. He has like where you get into the high post a little bit. You do the backup fadeaway. It just reminds me of him so much that I can't really get over it. He is thicker. But he also is a little bit bigger. But the thickness of Jabari is just it stands out. Yes, but I just can't unsee it, and so that's why I was wondering who else people see in them.
Yeah, I mean, Cody, Paolo obviously is going to be a scorer. Like if I had to guess, he's a 25 to 28 point per game scorer in the NBA. But could you say that Chet is actually going to lend to more wins in the NBA over a scoring superstar like Paolo is going to be?
Yeah.
Like, what have you liked about so far from Chet that you've seen? Just the versatility of what he can do, or?
Yeah. I mean, he can do a little bit of everything. Like, and he just like, he stays doing stuff. He doesn't just stand around. He's great. Love Chet. Yeah,
blocking shots, bringing the ball up.
Yeah.
He's just crossover, shooting threes, shooting step back, Dirk fades.
Yeah, I mean, I also saw a clip of him at one of Steph Curry's camps when he was in high school, and he blocked Steph Curry and just was like, "Give me that." And then, like, while he was in high school, like, Just I don't know. I know that has nothing to do with the summer league performance, but I just thought that was a fun thing about Chet. And yeah, I like him. He's been pretty fun.
So Cody, out of these top three, who's going to be the best player out of them?
Probably Paolo.
Paolo, Daniel, would you agree?
100%.
Oh, yeah. I want to say Paolo. It does hurt because I really like Chet. So I'm
it just hurts me because he's a Dookie. You know what?
Usually they're the best.
You know what? Yeah, Kyrie's really turned out great.
He's one of the best. Crazy.
He's not one of the best. He is not one of the best. You know, just because Daniel is like doing all this Duke stuff, I'm flipping back to Chet. You can be on your Paolo Island. It's Chet Holmgren. The Thunder are going to be the 2023 NBA champions.
Oh, Lord. Get your tickets in now. That's probably got to be what?
+250 to 1.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, hopefully Kenny Lofton Jr. isn't playing on the other team because tomato chest.
Speaking of Kenneth Lofton Jr., let's get to some overreactions or some surprises so far in the summer league. Cody, I will let you lead off first. Biggest overreaction / surprise so far in summer league in two or three games.
My biggest overreaction is that Kenneth Lofton Jr. is the second coming of Kevon Looney, who is the second coming of Shaq. Ryan knows how much I love Kevon Looney.
So you're all in on
Jr. I'm all in on Kenny Lofton Jr.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
You just like it because of the body size and what he's doing out there, or what is like?
Yeah, just like I like the size. You know, he can come off the bench. He can just, you know, he's five fouls. He's just a big guy. He's bruisy.
He's six, but yeah, he's fine.
Yeah. So, well, you know, if you get the sixth one, you can't bring him back in for anything.
Oh, so you're getting the five right on the
edge.
Yeah,
you never foul out. It's a good stat to have. Just, you know, it's like not having any technical fouls. Like, just I've never fouled out of a game before. Great stat. It's a real good guy look. So
shows your hustle. Daniel, what's your surprise or overreaction so
commitment
far?
To the team.
I love Kenny Lofton. I really do. I think that he is going to be one of the best undrafted players for sure. But I think that he really does have a chance in a couple of years to be in a starting role on a team. I hope it's the Grizzlies, obviously, but I really do think that he has a chance. He has a lot to improve on. Okay. So I'm pumping the brakes. I feel like I am the guy who's the Debbie Downer of Grizz Nation, because they are going off the rails talking about how great Kenny Lofton Jr. is, how terrible Santi Aldama is, how terrible this draft class is, everything about it. And I'm just like, it's okay, guys. It's summer league. So I don't put too much stock into summer league, except for when I see it. And that's, you know, what I always talk about is seeing that one thing that translates to, you know, the NBA. What is it? You have to have that one thing that sets you apart. And I really do think that a guy like Kenny Lofton Jr., who wants to be called Junior, just so everybody's aware, call him Junior. Don't call him anything different. He might punch you in the face. But he is a guy who's still 19, a lot of baby fat to fall off. But I think that he has the skill and the footwork to really do something for a long time in the NBA.
Wow. I think my biggest overreaction is that I'm all on the Blake Wesley Rookie of the Year campaign. He is going to just, I mean, if he gets burned like he's been getting in summer league, he's just going to be throwing up nasty stuff and getting a lot of points. And maybe the Spurs want to do that, right? If they're trying to tank, just give Blake Wesley the ball, let him run point, let him just throw the ball up like he has been so far. And he's going to average, you know, 16 to 20 points. Maybe that's good enough for Rookie of the Year for a tanking team in San Antonio. That's my probably biggest overreaction is I don't love Blake Wesley. I wasn't a huge fan of him coming into the draft. But so far in summer league, the dude is not shy. And he has been shooting almost everything he touches or driving to the rim without caution. And so I kind of like a guy like that for a what we assume is going to be a bad team in the Spurs to just throw up a bunch of empty stats. Not going to get a lot of wins, but just throw up a bunch of empty stats. Maybe that'll do it for me. So that's my kind of Blake Wesley Rookie of the Year campaign. I'm starting early. I can't find odds on it yet, but I'm sure they'll be up soon. Cody, do you have any other overreactions or observations so far from Summer League?
I mean, if I can overreact to anything, like I could, we could, how many MVP votes do you think Chet's going to get this year? For, you know,
that is a very good overreaction
for filling up a stat sheet. I mean, he's going to be an MVP of somebody's fantasy league for sure.
You think so?
If he's absolutely
going to stay uninjured.
Yeah. I mean, if he doesn't like, if he doesn't snap in half at some point, he'll be great.
So can you,
but you know who else we said that about? You know who else we said that about? A young Kevin Durant. And he hasn't snapped in half yet. He's, his Achilles has gone down. His ACL is not that great. All those other things are kind of, you know, questionable, but.
Are you, can we, let me put you on the spot.
Put me on the spot.
Do you think Chet Holmgren at some point in his NBA career will be an MVP finalist or an MVP?
Put me down for
top five MVP voting.
Put me down for yes.
For top five NBA MVP voting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
One day.
Would you agree with that? Or is that a massive overreaction?
Way massive. I think that he is a unicorn type, but the hunchback of Notre Dame or Notre Dame called, and they want their ogre back.
Nah,
their skinny ogre that got out.
Well, we're talking overreactions. I'm with you, Cody.
Thank you.
I've been voting MVP. I'm all.
Let's go.
We are overreacting. This is great. The other thing I want to overreact to is the totals in these things. I mean, I put Daniel onto this after night one. I think the overs were 11-1, and everything was in the low 160s to early 170s. And now Vegas has adjusted, and everything's in the mid 170s to high one or low 180s. And I missed my window of opportunity, of course. But Daniel, were you able to cash in on any of that?
Yeah, we cashed in on Saturday? It's been a long weekend.
I think it was two of them.
Yeah, two of the three on Saturday.
Yeah, so we got on any of that. We got on some of that, and now Vegas has adjusted. So now it's going to be a lot tighter and tougher to find those kind of wins. So probably stay away now for the rest of Summer League. Daniel, any final overreactions before we move on to one final subject and get out of here?
I think there's been a lot of talk about, you know, some guys, but I think that the top five being all really good, I think has potential, and that might be an overreaction because it is Summer League, but just kind of looking through the names, and honestly, Jabari has been the worst out of the five. And so I feel good that Jabari can be consistent enough and bounce back. And I know that Jaden Ivey probably won't slip and fall every time he takes off. Maybe his feet are going too fast. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he gets sideways and doesn't realize he's supposed to be upwards and not outwards. I don't know, but I think his legs will start working eventually, so he'll be all right soon. But I really do think that might be an overreaction that they're all really good. But man, my eyes tell me different. My eyes tell me that could be real. So we'll see.
Yeah, it is. It would be strange to have the top five picks be the best players out of a draft class, because it's just typically not the case. And maybe that's just a indicator of what this draft class ultimately would be. When we said before that, you know, I've said it might be a weaker class. So I don't know if a lot of this early production is smoke and mirrors. I mean, we didn't talk about a bunch of individual players who've had nice outings, like Tari Eason looks to be a good two-way guy. Ty Ty's been interesting in spots as a point guard. Malachi Branham has struggled a little bit so far. I mean, Nikola Jovic was awful in Utah, and he airballed like three threes in one game, and the next game comes back, scores 26 points or whatever. So maybe we'll save next week to talk more about a lot of different players once we get through most of Summer League. I did want to focus in kind of on the top three because I felt like it was the most relevant that we've seen, a little overreaction. So next week, if we don't have any KD news or any other big breaking free agency or trade moves, which there has been all sorts of talk about, the Suns and Pacers are close to nearing a sign and trade deal with DeAndre Ayton. So we'll see what comes of that, but might have something interesting to talk about next week, but we'll see. But this final thing, I was going to be done, but Cody wanted me to bring this up. Actually, I'll let Cody bring this up since he's the one who offered it to me and he wanted to talk about
it. So I just, I hadn't heard about this till this morning. And, you know, I've recently, my life has changed up. I'm developing new routines. So I've gotten to this, routine where like I get up at about 6 in the morning, 6:30, and I turn on First Things First on Fox Sports One. It's got Kevin Wilds, Chris Broussard, some other people that I just talk rundown, you know, it's like First Take, but like they seems to be quieter. So I'm watching that just to kind of see, you know, what are the hot topics of the day. And they bring this up. And I just wanted to hear you guys' thoughts on this. One Grizzlies point guard, Ja Morant, was in an interview and he was talking about how he would have loved to have played in the generation of Hall of Fame legend, greatest basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan. And he was talking about how he goes about the game, the mindset that Michael Jordan had. He would have liked to play against him. And then he added that he would have cooked him in one-on-one. So I want to hear you guys' thoughts on that. Like, what do you think? I mean, a good point was made earlier when I was watching TV. They mentioned that a 42-year-old Denzel Washington was able to get a couple buckets on Ray Allen, and he got game, and those were real buckets that he got because they actually – like, Ray Allen wasn't ready for that. So that was a point that they did make. But, Ryan, let's start with you. What do you think?
I really don't know what to think because I just honestly don't really care. I do think it's interesting, like, the response to people to Ja now is that Ja is like this corny dude on Twitter who'd just be tweeting. And he is that, but I don't care. Like, him tweeting gets a lot of attention. He's, you know, one of the most searched out popular players in the NBA now after last season. So why not let this guy have some fun? And if he wants to say that kind of stuff and people bash him, great. That's great. All publicity is good publicity, right?
Absolutely.
So everyone that wants to hate on him only benefits the Grizzlies because guess what? His haters are going to tune in to watch him and the Grizzlies play. So I think it's a masterclass in publicity and a publicity stunt. And now he probably actually believes that. What NBA player doesn't believe that? I mean, good God, if you asked – you know, Russell Westbrook right now, if he could beat Jordan one-on-one, you know, back then, he would say yes too. Like, there's no NBA player.
Russell Westbrook would say yes standing next to LeBron James if you asked him if he could beat LeBron in one-on-one right now.
Yeah, he would probably roll off like, the basketball.
Oh,
yeah. And
he'd
say,
be like, oh,
ball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I could.
Bro, yeah, he would say, check up. So I just, like, what NBA player is, like, going to say they're worse than somebody, right? Like, no one does that. Like, it's just not going to happen. So, I mean, that's like when Desmond Bain took offense to when they compared one of the other guys to him. He's like, he plays like who now? He plays like me? I think it was a response to Perk, you know, the guy, he compared him in the draft. And he said he was Black Santa going up the chimney. but, like, I just think it's a great publicity stunt. He probably said it because he meant it. And he's going to receive a lot of hate for it. And people think he's corny and lame and annoying. And that's fine. And I don't care. I mean, he's what, 21, 22 years old. Just got almost $40 million a year contract. Probably sponsored by Casamigos. Like, let the man live. Let the man live. You can't doubt that he's a good teammate.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
And a star player. So it's not like this hurts him in any way.
And to be clear, I know I didn't like really frame this very well, but I think this is like excellent that he said this. Like, I like the amount of like the level of confidence that he just has. Like, he basically said he could beat anybody of one-on-one at anything. Like, was like the whole, like, I didn't watch the whole thing. I was like reading the quote about the Michael Jordan thing and they didn't really like put all the stuff in, but I do know that he even mentioned that he could beat like Lionel Messi in soccer. So
yeah. But the thing is, I feel like it's all taken out of context.
It is. The Michael Jordan stuff is totally taken out of context because there's so much other like nuance and stuff to it. Like I thought it was funny the way they were talking about it on TV, but like if you have a franchise guy, like you want that level of confidence. Right.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of keyboard warriors, I guess that's what they're called, that love to hate just to hate. Like they would rather hate on a player than really just love on their favorite player. They literally get off on that. And so I love that Ja has the confidence, honestly. And so I know it's taken out of context because I saw the entire interview. I saw it live. Weirdly enough, that Taylor Rooks was the one who kind of said it. She's like, oh yeah, so you're not going to say you could take him, whatever. He goes, oh, whatever he said, I can cook him. He goes, oh, she said, oh yeah, you can cook him. And he's like, yeah, I can cook him, whatever. And that's when it led to the, I think I'm the best player in any sport. He goes, I know I'm not, but who's find me the best soccer player. And they found, you know, Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
And he goes, all right, well, can I just be the, he goes, can I be the goalie? I just want to try to be the goalie. I just want to stop him. He goes, well, you're not going to stop. I just want to try to stop him. I think I could stop him. I'm like, all right. He had fun with it. So there's, it's mainly Warriors fans that are taken out of context because they want to not like Ja. His Twitter doesn't help him, which I don't know if you heard the interview, but his mom is the one who tells him to either delete text or he runs them by her and she says yes or no. Like, yeah, that's okay to put out. No, I wouldn't put that out. He literally has his mom.
That's
interesting. Yeah, he'll definitely get hated on for that, having mom. I just want to know what his unfiltered mind on Twitter is if mom wasn't there to check his
tweet. Oh, he said I would get fined more than my contract's worth if I went off how I felt.
We need it. Come on. The NBA to me, this actually moves me into another point. I'm glad you kind of brought this up, Cody, because it brought me to the Scottie Pippen interview that he did live on Summer League. I don't know if you saw, I think it was last night or the day before. But I'm going to try to connect these together. But he was asked if today's players had it harder than what they did back in his era. And he said yes. Or the level of players, are the level of basketball players better than they were back in your run? And he said yes. And he said, it's harder to stand out and be a star in today's basketball because the pace of the game, you have to be able to shoot. Like there's no, you know, Anthony Masons out there. Like there's just not jobs for those kind of players. Like even Patrick Ewing, like what is Patrick Ewing today? He's probably a guy that's like, you know, Serge Ibaka staying around the 3-point line, shooting threes, which brought me to this homogenization of the NBA, right? Everyone has to be the same archetype. You either are a combo guard who can dribble and shoot, you're either a wing who can defend and shoot, or you're a big who can protect the rim, rotate and switch on defense, or you can shoot. And if you can do all three, great. So to tie it in with Ja, I think we have so many players today who are very good at their job. And yes, they're a lot better than players 30 years ago, just the evolution of basketball in general. But everyone does basically the same thing, right? And there is not a lot of individual things that stand out about players where you can characterize, you know, Dirk has a Dirk fade. You know, there's not a lot of players like that have a signature move that stands out anymore. Everyone does kind of one or two things. And so Ja bringing that in with like his kind of standing out is he's an absolute force of nature going to the rim, but he also will chirp at people on Twitter. But people want that to die down because they want him to be the boring homogenized version of NBA we see today. Do we think that actually hurts the NBA that it's more homogenized where everyone's doing the same? Or do you think we should encourage more individual free spirit like Ja seems to have?
I like the free spirit, but I do think that you can take the stuff, I guess the stuff that people say and gets a little bit annoying because you're running to Twitter and saying, so I think there's a fine line between say what you want, but also like kind of keep it to, I guess relax it a little bit, because he's talking to everybody. And eventually it just becomes, you know, just white noise because he's just talking to everybody. It's just annoying. It's just like Curry's go to sleep thing that he's trying to make really cool that literally he does every day at every event, multiple times at every event. So I think there's a difference that there needs to be. Yes, speak your mind, but pick your points. And if you can pick your spots and pick your points, that's really where you get the really good stuff. And, you know, if you have to ask your mom if it's okay to put that out, that's fine. Just make sure you don't do it every day.
Cody, do you think we don't get more individual free spirit like this because of everyone expects you all to be this particular type of player? So there is a backlash that will come back from that, right? Like, do you think there's a fear from players for that? That hurts their brand, quote unquote.
I mean, I think to a degree there is that, but then like, I also think that Kyrie has enough free spirit for everybody in the league sometimes. So,
but like, here's the thing. I enjoy it when he does that.
No, kind of stuff. Mean, I think everybody does enjoy that stuff. But like, if that's on your team though, like, it's not necessarily always the most fun. Like, I think the level that Ja's at now is like the fun level, like the Joel Embiid, like kind of Ja Morant. Like, we're good at using social media. We make fun of things and, you know, we'll talk shit to people on here, like whatever. But if you had Kyrie on your team, like as entertaining as it is for us, like to see this like comical stuff, if Kyrie played for the Grizzlies and all this crap was going on, we would be like, fuck this guy. Mm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Daniel would, like, even his Duke loyalty would, like, slow down there. He would be like, I mean, 100%. 100%. I mean, come on. Like, get this guy out of here. Like, why? Like, you don't want to play ever. Like, you know, this, that. He's got to take personal time off in the middle of the season. Like, he's, I don't know. It just seems like some of that, like, when it's entertaining and kind of, like, I wouldn't necessarily say lighthearted, but like, you know, lighthearted kind of like shit talky kind of stuff on Twitter where it doesn't really, like, it's not of any like real, it's not consequential, I guess is what I mean. Like, as far as like, in terms of like the on the court stuff, like, yeah, it might like ruffle some feathers and like it, but the only thing that it's going to do as far as like with him shit talking is it's going to make the matchups more interesting.
Yeah.
Like that's the only thing that it does, is it makes what's on the court more interesting. So like, what I would say that what Ja does is like additive, and what other people do, not other people, but like Kyrie in this example does, would be like, it would take away from like what's going on and be a distraction. So I think like any of that stuff that like becomes a distraction, like some Kevin Durant stuff has been in the past, but like when Kevin Durant just tweets as himself and is just like, this is lame, whatever. Like, I had to play with Russ and Billy Donovan was the coach, and like, you would have wanted out of there too. Like, when Kevin Durant just says that, like, that's entertaining. But when like Kevin Durant's burner account says it and some like internet sleuth like has to come back, and then it's just like, this is now a distraction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Kevin Durant's like, I was playing with Russ and a bunch of bums and Billy Donovan was the coach. Okay. Well, the next time Oklahoma City comes to town, like, that makes an on-court product that much more interesting. Even if there's not really anything there, people looking on the outside in are going, oh, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, they might not like each other. They're talking shit about each other on social media. But
yeah,
if it's anything other than that, then it just becomes less.
Yeah. I think this is a very interesting topic, which is maybe something we'll explore in a full episode later during the off season, you know, during the dead time that's coming up pretty soon. But I do think it's an interesting dynamic because obviously there's thoughts that we could have even further on this. I've thought of a couple extra points that we could add to it, but we don't want this to be a 2-hour-long podcast trying to decipher fans and franchise and all that stuff. So we'll kind of table this for later. But I thought that was a good start to that. So I'm glad it was brought up. But I think it does kind of lead to some larger big picture macro points to the NBA in general and to where it may be heading if we're not already there already. But before we wrap up for today, Cody, do you have anything you want to plug before we go? Could you be Lionel Messi one-on-one?
Twice. Already done it. been done.
Daniel, anything for you?
I'm going to shout out the Leeds Podcast Network. We're actually doing a lot of big overhaul this summer. So a lot of good fun things coming up towards the fall, the start of the season. But one quote I want to read you before we get out of here. If you put MJ in today's game, he's just another superstar. You got me, which is Josh said this, Steph, Luka, Dame, Trey, and then there's guys like LeBron, KD, Giannis, Kawhi. It's not just one superstar and a bunch of, you know, average dudes. You feel me? Who said that? Ja Morant. But did he? No, he didn't. Ballsack Sports puts out that, and these people are getting sacked. That's their tagline. They're getting sacked. It's so funny, and they're one of my more favorite sports Twitter accounts to follow because they will put these things up, and they look so real, and these people just fall for them all day long, and it's just – it's funny how – you see people just kind of spiral. They were put out everything. They'll say how terrible Ja is. They'll give the stats. And then right under them, the next person just says sacked. And it's my day. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to end the pod. Everyone have a good week. We'll be back next week. Maybe we'll talk some more summer league. Maybe we'll get in some more macro points from the NBA. We'll see. We'll see how deep we're feeling this week. But everyone have a good week. We will see you guys next Monday or Tuesday? I don't know. We'll see. Kind of up in the air, right? All right. Everyone have a good week.